زمانا لعله أشكو غربتي إن كانت الشكوى تداوي مهجتي قلبي تسائر الهموم توجها ويزيد همي إن خلوت بظلمتي يا قلب إني قد أتيتك ناصحا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس إن وعد الله حق يا أيها الناس إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. يا أيها الناس إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب السعير. الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير. الذين كفروا لهم عذاب شديد والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير. ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان ألن أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إن عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. يا بني آدم لا يفتنن لكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة ينزع وَأَزْعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, today inshallah a new series talking about a mortal enemy. Enemy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us about throughout all those verses that I have recited. It is the animosity of the shaitan. It is the animosity of Satan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and has subhanahu wa ta'ala told us everything that we need to know about. It's a series that will take few months inshallah because we want to dig to the bottom of it, talk about this shaitan, this enemy, and know about him everything from A to Z, inshallah, as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the power to search it. My dear brothers and sisters, it is not a secret to know the animosity of the shaitan. And this is something old, it is not something new, it is as old as Adam alayhi salam. It's as old as the beginning of humanity. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels and Iblis to bow to Adam out of respect, and he refused to do that, he started to plot and plan against Adam alayhi salam. Then after he met with Adam in the Jannah, he was able to whisper to Adam to eat from the prohibited tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam whatever he wants. You know, in the Jannah, everything that you need. There's only one tree that he was not supposed to eat from. Just one tree. The shaitan was successful to lure him and make him eat from that tree, even though everything is available there, even though the warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very clear, even though the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only to not eat from that tree, but to not listen to the shaitan, he told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Bani Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us, but he said, Inna shaitana lakum adu, shaitan is your enemy, very clear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Adam alayhi salam about the shaitan, but successfully, for a wisdom, a hikmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to fulfill, he made Adam eat from that prohibited tree. Adam alayhi salam received the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in that guidance is the ability to repent. And he took advantage of that, repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance, and now his sin is history as far as the accountability for it, because he repented and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that. Now, once Adam accepted alayhi salam, repented and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that repentance, the fury of the shaitan became worse. And he has determined that he will lead Adam and the children of Adam as much as he can to the hellfire. Naturally, he's going to work on us because Adam alayhi salam is a prophet and shaitan cannot do anything for him after that repentance. So he is determined to ruin our life. What is he going to do? He said, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. He swore with the izzah, with the majesty, with the power, with the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's going to sit on the straight path for us. Sit on the straight path, meaning anything that may lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan, you'll find him there. This is the swear and the promise that shaitan did. Rather than repenting, he went the other way. He got more disobedient, and this is what he wanted to do. So let us look at it from the beginning. Who is the shaitan? We always think about that, and we don't have a real answer for that in the sense of shaitan, who is he? Because this is something of the unseen. We cannot see him, we cannot feel him, in the sense where we can take a look at him and know who is the shaitan. He whispers to us, but we don't know what is he doing and so forth. Yahya ibn Ma'in, he said the following. He said, son of Adam, be aware of the shaitan. Four reasons. He said, هُوَ عَتِيق وَأَنْتَ جَدِيد. He's very old and you're new. Meaning he's been there. He has experience more than you do. Anyone who is older than you has things different and more than what you have. He is فارغ وَأَنْتَ مَشْغُول. He is free and you are busy, in the sense that his job is you. Doesn't have anything else. Your job is not to protect yourself from him. You got other things to do. You got to go to work, you got to study, you got to protect your family, you got to provide, you got to do a lot of things. It's not like you're sitting here, all you do is a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, or making dua or something. You have other things. He doesn't. He doesn't have to work, he doesn't have to do anything. All he does is ruining your life. And that is what he wants. Himmatuhu wahida. All of his power is focused and concentrated on you. He's not busy with anything. He doesn't have to take some of his power and use it against something else. And naturally ours is with other worries too. هُوَ يَرَاكْ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَرَاهُ. He sees you and you don't see him. And that's a disaster by itself. When you see something, you can do certain things. You can protect yourself. But when you don't see, you don't know where things are coming from, or who is there, and what he's planning, and who is watching, and who is not. It's scary by itself. He sees you, and you don't see him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Him and his followers, in the sense, يعني his own shayateen like him, they see you where you don't see them. And finally he said, أَنْتَ تَنْسَاهُ وَهُوَ لَا يَنْسَاكُ. You forget him, he doesn't forget you. You forget that you have an enemy. You walk in the street, you sit at home, you fall into disobedience, and you have no idea that there is an enemy who is constantly with you, watching you, luring you, working against you. You forget him. You get busy in other things. He doesn't forget you. He's always there, and he knows what his job is, and he is constantly there for you. So the question remains, what is the shaitan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just out of his mercy with our minds, he subhanahu wa ta'ala told us who is the shaitan. And he told us the story of his animosity. Where did it start? And how it started? And why it started? And what is he planning to do? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy also, he told us subhanahu wa ta'ala how to protect us from him. This is the most important one. He did not only tell us, here is your enemy, deal with him. He said, no, here is your enemy, and here are the solutions for you to take care of yourself from that enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, told us how to protect ourselves from the shaitan. One story from one of the righteous predecessors, he wanted to teach his son how to deal with the shaitan. He told him, son, if a dog, you pass in, you walk in the street, and a dog start barking at you, what would you do? He said, I toss him with a stone. He said, what if he continued to bark at you? He said, I'll toss him with another one. He said, what if he continues? So the son got the point. He said, okay, dad, what should I do? He said, yell as loud as you can, who is the owner of this dog? Come and take him away from me. Your problem is solved from the beginning. Who is the owner of this dog? Come and take care of him for me. And your problem is solved. It's not get another stone and another stone and get closer and chase him and you never know what the end was or going to be. Similarly, shaitan is there. Whatever you can do, it's not going to be effective unless you resort to the owner of the shaitan, to the creator of the shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you do that, the problem is immediately solved. You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, and everything is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His creation. The Muslim and the non-Muslim, the obedient and the disobedient, and those who are forced to worship and those who have the choice to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of those are controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. He is the one in control of all His creations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to know 2 points in aqidah. We need to know that there is a mashi'a kawniyyi and a mashi'a shar'iyyi. There is a will that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written permanently in the preserved scrolls. And this one, nothing in it but with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants and wills. Everything in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it. And there is a mashi'a shar'iyya. Shar'iyya is like the curriculum, the way, the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to us, how He wants us to serve Him. This one, not everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants happens. Because He had given a choice. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants Abu Lahab to become a Muslim in the shar'i mashi'a or will. But he didn't. Now he didn't in the qadari mashi'a, the one in the preserved scroll, it's written that he will not. Because nothing happens, but it's taken care of in that one. But in the shar'i one, Allah wants him to become a Muslim. He sends him the Prophet. He sends all the disbelievers and wants everyone to obey him, but not everyone obeys him. Why? Because he had given us the choice to do or not to do what he wants, what he wants from us. And that's how we understand the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. You may resort to almost ruin yourself because they refuse to become believers. Yani out of sadness, out of worry about those disbelievers, because you know what's waiting for them as punishment concerned. You feel so bad for them because they are not accepting the message. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. إِن نَشَأْ نُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاكُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. If we meaning referring to His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing Himself in the plural form to show His greatness. He said, if we want, we could have brought down from the sky a miracle or a sign or something that forcefully made them subjected and become believers. But the reality is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do that and did not want to do that. So He is telling Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the Qadari will, this is how they're going to be. They're going to end up disbelievers. In the Shari, we want them to. We're giving them the proofs. We're giving them the mind. Nobody's stopping them or blocking their way from taking it and becoming Muslims, but they're not. So don't ruin your life. Don't ruin your health. Don't feel too stressed out or too depressed, because all you have to do, in alayka illa al-balagh, deliver the message and you have done your job. As far as them accepting or not accepting, leave it to them. But I have to admit it to you, brothers and sisters, that we talked about da'wah series before. And every sincere da'iyah who is really sincere in his job and really knows what he is calling for and whom he is calling, cannot really disregard that feeling for other people who are deviated. He has to have that passion and that compassion. Because if you just call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you don't care if they become believers or not, then naturally your message or your call is not very effective. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that as da'iyah we have to call to Him with sincerity. And that means you have to call everyone with love and with hope for the reward. And to get the maximum benefit of people, if they don't see your sincerity, they are not going to follow you. So just simply calling, it's not. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressed by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many different ways. He said, قَدْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that it saddens you what they are saying. Why it saddens Him? He knows that if they will accept, they will. If not, then it's written that they will not. But brothers, it saddens Him because He wants to save everyone. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and created shaitan with the will to obey or not to obey. And that is why the shaitan chose to go the other way. But whoever accepts and whoever rejects, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already know them. Let's talk about wasf al-shaytan, the description of the shaitan. There is a difference between the description of a shaitan and the shaitan himself. And there's a difference between, I say, give me the description of a shaitan, or tell me what is the shaitan or who is the shaitan. When you talk about shaitan as a description, anything that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or anything that is worshipped different than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to worship, anything that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referred to as shaitan. So anything that entices you to disobey, anything that calls you to disobey, anything that works against you to disobey is referred to as a shaitan. So from that description, you understand that a shaitan can be a human being and it can be a jinn or real shaitan. Because you have some human being who take you away from the path, some human being who entice you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are many of them. So they would fall in the category of the description of the shaitan. What do they have in common? the people who take you away from Allah and the shaitan himself and his children, they have in common, they enjoy seeing you disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shayateen al-jinn, the shayateen of the jinn, is referred to because we have jinn, and jinn has Muslims and has kafir. Shayateen al-jinn are the disbelievers from the jinn. And shayateen al-ins, they do the same thing that the other shayateen by deviating people and taking him away from the path. Let's talk about Iblis. Iblis is who? That's the father of all the shayateen. Himself, who is he himself? He is a shaytan. He is one of the jinn. And he used to occupy high status to the point he was with the level of the angels. Now picture yourself, angels, they don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any shape or form. They don't have the choice. And shaitan was, or Iblis, was so obedient to the point that he rose in status to be with the angels. That's how obedient he was. Even though he has all the desires that may take him away from serving Allah, he did, and he was so good to the point he reached that level. But finally, he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he was given the choice to accept or not accept. This way, the way he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was it with the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or was it not? It was with the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because remember, in the perfect scrolls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything the way he wants it. Shaitan refused to follow the orders. And we said that mashi'a shar'iyya, the commands and such, the human being and the jinn have the ability to accept or not accept. Everything in this world was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels and they don't have a choice. And he created the human and the jinn and they have the choice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he given us the choice, does he want us to obey him? Yes. Can we disobey him? Yes. Is this what he wants? No. He doesn't want us to disobey him. He wants us to obey him. But we disobey him. How did we do that? Well, we did it with his permission. So it's not like Allah wants it this way and I want it the other way and I overpowered the will of Allah, astaghfirullah. No. Allah wants it this way and I chose the other way because it is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gave me that choice. Are we getting lost? It's very simple. Anything and everything that happens in this world, it's with the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of those things are written before they even, not some, everything is written until the day of judgment. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if you're going to be a believer or not. But He doesn't force you to do that. He wrote in the perfect scrolls, in the qada kawni, that you're going to die as a believer. Okay? And he sent you the proofs and everything to believe in him. And independently from any pressure or outside force or anything, he gave you the brain and he told you choose. You chose it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his perfect knowledge, he knew what you're going to choose. A human being can do that with some experience about a teacher, can give a test, and with his knowledge about his students, he can guesstimate that you're not going to pass this test based on the knowledge he knows about that person and the questions that he has given. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew all of that before it happens. We don't discuss the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we pray 5 times a day? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to pray 5 times a day. So we took it. Why do we pray 3 rak'ah for Maghrib instead of 4? Or 2 rak'ah for Fajr instead of 3? Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us. This is mashi'a shar'iyya. This is shar'i way. Allah wants us to do this. He commands us to do it, and we know what to do. You can take it or reject it. You can pray 3, or you can just say, no, I don't want to pray 3, I pray 4. But as a servant, you follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the illah? What is the reason for the worship? Is it from Allah or is it not? If it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no questions asked. If I don't understand the wisdom, fine. If I don't understand the reason for it, fine. I just need to know one thing and verify one thing. Is it from Allah? If this is confirmed, then I will do it without knowing the reason or without knowing the wisdom, because my job is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the job of the brain? The job of our brain is to look in this world and come up with a conclusion for everything he sees in this world. Think about it, reflect over it. Why is it there? Who is making it? Who is putting it? Who is running it? Who is controlling it? It's not just simply look at the sun and look at the trees and look at the animals and just close your mind and not reflect. No, you reflect. Once you see the perfection, once you see the order, once you see the varieties, your mind would lead you, there is a creator, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the one who deserves our worship. Is that enough? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the messengers, because I look, and okay, everything led me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense he is the creator. Okay, what's next? I need to worship him. How? That's the job of the Prophet whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us, to teach us how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to serve us. One thing, a number one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave for those messengers is miracles. Miracles that is above the capabilities of the human being, any human being. No human being can come up with a miracle that a prophet can do. Because if a human being does something similar to that, then it's not a miracle. A miracle means it is beyond the ability of any human being. For instance, can anyone create a sun or something similar to the sun? No way. The sun that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, the seas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, the stars, the galaxies, and all of those, all are subjugated to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sun rises every day from the east. Can someone make it rise from the west? Can someone make it farther or closer? Can anyone do or control anything about it? Can anyone make it do something different than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And reflecting on that, the sun is doing that constantly every day, not disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any shape or form by not going. Picture, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the sun every day it rises from the east and it sets in the west. It bows before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and waits the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if she can rise again today from the east. You probably wonder why. Because, brothers, one of the signs, the major signs of the Day of Judgment is the sun rising from the west. And the sun does not know when is that day to rise from the west. So every day it waits the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from where should I rise? So this tells you that the sun is by the power and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing what it's doing, and that's a sign of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing when you talk about seas, the water that evaporates from the seas. Can the seas stop that and say, okay, I'm going to stop evaporating? No, it is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how it's going to happen, and this is what brought the rain back, and this is a system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and perfected. So the job of the messengers is to tell us Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe, and He has subjugated it for us, and He wants us to worship Him, and this is how He wants you to worship Him. This is the job of the messengers. And then He gives them the miracles. The miracles is to confirm what? To confirm that all the teaching that I am giving you is not mine. It is not the invention of myself, the invention of someone who is smarter than me, the invention of a unanimous decision by knowledgeable people. It is not the invention of anyone on this earth, and the proof to it, let anyone come up with anything like it. Once this is confirmed, then I know the teachings of that prophet is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's one question I always ask our brothers from the Christians when they talk about John and Matthews and all that. Who are these guys? Who are they? They say, oh, inspired by God. And I said, what is the proof that they are inspired by God? What kind of miracles they come up with to prove to us that they are people chosen by God and we should follow them? If they don't have it, then this is how you distinguish the followers of Satan from the followers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan does certain miracles. Not miracles, I mean, does certain powerful things and everything, but if it is not confirmed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through those miraculous things that people, no one can do. And when I say no one, I'm including shaitan and I'm including the jinn and anything. No one can do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. So in order for us to follow those messengers, we have to have something to prove to us that they are there. Tayyib, what is our job? Our job is, we heard it. We heard it from whom? We heard it from a messenger. Who is that messenger? He's a messenger of Allah. How did I know? He confirmed it with the miracles and with his good history known to people. History known to people and miracles supported. Then what is my job? Okay, this is confirmed. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will submit to it and I will follow it and I will do it. Some people argues with whom? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, if you think about it as human being, can you find a farmer, for instance, standing before a surgeon, arguing with him how to do the brain surgery? No, this is not the right way. No, you should use an axe instead of that scissor that you are using, because this is easily, you can break the head quickly, and you can... people will go, you're crazy. Crazy, even if he, I mean, with any discussion, I mean, you're a farmer, you know nothing about this, and you're arguing with them. Well, we personally reject anyone who argues someone else with a profession different than that person with no knowledge. How can we perceive arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us? He created us. He created us. Zero knowledge. Wallahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. When we emerge from the womb of our mothers, we know nothing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the blessings of hearing and seeing and minds and teaching and all that, we started to have some knowledge, and then we stand in defiance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? How come He didn't do this and that? Look at you. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقُ. Look at you from where you created. And how you're going to end up. How you're going to die. And where you're going to go. Once you do that, I mean, you would be embarrassed to even open your mouth, different than complete submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the sound-minded person goes, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله. Once you are confirmed, or you confirm the fact that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have no choice but submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the quality of the people. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. If the command is there, then you have no choice to say no, provided what? A minute ago I told you have the choice, right? Provided that you are a believer. You can say no, but that's a proof you're not a believer. If you are a believer, you have no choice to say no, and you will respect that, accept that, and submit to that, and you say, yes, I believe. The beginning of the disobedience, we're talking about the shaitan. I know some of you is going, oh, we're talking a different topic. No, we're still talking about the shaitan. We're trying to establish some fundamentals referring to the aqidah, some fundamentals referring to why the shaitan believed and disbelieved and who is he and so forth. And inshallah, it will sink in as we go deeper into the topic. The beginning of the ma'asiyah. What is ibadah? We said we defined ibadah. It is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what He has legislated to us, with what He commanded us. This is ibadah. Shaitan did what? He rejected and refused to do the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he disobeyed, and this disobedience led him to kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمِ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. We commanded angels to bow for Adam alayhi salam. They all bowed except Iblis. What did he do? أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرْ. Refused and became arrogant. And then what happened to him? He was from the kafirin, from the disbelievers. Why? Because a person who refused that is from the disbelievers. It led him to disbelief because he insisted on it and did not repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the beginning of the disobedience of Iblis. He rejected the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bow to Adam, and he refused. So he refused to not bow to Adam. So can you say that he refused to bow to anyone different than Allah? No. He refused to bow to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the difference. Because some people may think or may say that the command came to the angels. It did not come to Iblis. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Not to Iblis. We told angels to bow. So how did the Iblis, was in, how was he included with that, or why does he deserve the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We look at it from other different ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Iblis, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He was from the jinn. He stepped out of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rejected it. So here from this word, فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ, it gives us an understanding that the command was directed to him too. Otherwise, what's the point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying he refused to obey? In a different ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly asked him, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. He told Iblis, what stopped you from bowing when I commanded you? قَالَ خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. So the only reason is you created me from fire and you created him from clay. So here directly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Iblis, why you refuse the command? In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسُ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ. What stopped you from bowing to what I have created with my two hands? Look at the answer. I mean, before the answer, أَسْتَكْبَرْتَ أَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْعَالِينَ. You became arrogant, or you felt that you are much better and much higher than Adam alayhi salam. So these are the ayat that tells us that Iblis was commanded, or the command came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the angels and to Iblis himself to bow to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the command was including Iblis, not just the angels. The reality of Iblis, who is Iblis? Was he from the angels or was he not? Number one, look at this. Angels don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sajad, they followed. Who refused? Iblis. So this by itself tells you that he is not an angel, because he rejected. An angel don't reject the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are, or the kinds in this world are, some people divided into two categories, some people divided three. Some of them say angels, human, and jinn. And some scholars, they say angels are not included because they don't have a choice. So it's human being and jinn. And the proof to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to thaqalan, the two heavy things on earth, which is human being and the jinn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنَّا مِنَّا الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ. The jinn said that we have some believers and some disbelievers, or some wrongdoers. So it is human being and it is also jinn. So if you look at the jinn, some of them are good and some of them not good. And if you look at the human being, the same way. And we have shayateen from the human being and we have shayateen from the jinn. How did the disobedience start? فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. All of them bowed except Iblis. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَكَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He was clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Iblis was from the jinn, and he trespassed the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refused to bow. So this is the beginning of the disobedience of Iblis. What was it? Look at it. Was it a mistake from Iblis that he didn't bow? Was it he forgot? Was it something that he regret? No. It was arrogance that has entered his heart that made him disobey and continue to disobey, and it was so big to the point he did not even repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because some of you might ask a question. Well, Adam made a mistake, alayhi salam, and he ate from the tree. How come he's not condemned? Shaitan disobeyed and Adam disobeyed, right? Regardless of what they disobeyed. But it's a disobedience here and a disobedience here. What's the difference between the two? Repentance. Shaitan insisted, Adam alayhi salam repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are the different things about when you start about talking about the shaitan? Shaitan have different capabilities, and I will inshallah conclude with that. Different capabilities than the human being. So their disobedience and their ability to do things are a lot more powerful than the human being, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them from fire. They're fast and nimble with their movements. They are able to rise very high in the sky. You know, if a human being goes a certain level, you know, when you fly, your ears and all that, you're not. But the jinn can do that. Jinn can penetrate through things, can go through the walls and everything and enter, and they enter the places that are closed. Is that all the time? No. Because if you make the dua, when you enter your house, they exit. They cannot enter it. They cannot stay. When you enter the house, you say Assalamu alaikum to your family, and you eat, and you say Bismillah, they say, we cannot stay and we cannot. So they do, they have the ability to do that, but if you follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to get rid of them or how to protect yourself from them, then they will not. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Next time we'll talk about the beginning of the creation of Adam from clay and the creation of Shaitan from the fire. The Shaitan refused to bow simply because he thought his essence, or from what he was created, is more superior than what Adam alayhi salam was created from. Fire is more superior than clay. Therefore, he rejected and he became arrogant because he feels that Adam maybe should bow to him instead of the other way around, because he is inferior, because Adam inferior to him. He based that judgment on what? On his own arrogance. This is how he feels. You know, like some people feel that I am so and so, everyone's supposed to stand up for me, everyone's supposed to respect me and all that, out of his own thinking that his job may be more superior than the job of the other person, and that's what the arrogance is. We'll talk about that inshallah, and we'll prove it that there is no virtue of anything over anything, regardless what they are created from. We'll prove that inshallah next time. For the meantime, we have this for you, and we have other CDs. This is Rights in Islam. These are a series that we have spoken about here. If you are interested, they're $20 a piece. That goes back to the website for Sunnah followers to pay for the price of the room for the brothers and the sisters who watch us and watch many other lectures different than mine, and give them the ability to seek knowledge. So the price for those things goes there. And it's not limited to you buying that. You can just simply give the money for whatever, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for getting an everlasting, inshallah, rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because knowledge, teaching it, or being a mean to teach it or to pass it to other people, that is from the things that you will see the day of judgment. That, and if you wanted to see more of those lectures, you can go to imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com or to sunnahfollowers.net. You'll find those lectures there, and all of those lectures are live on Sunnah Followers for you and for your family. Inshallah, you can benefit from all of that. This is a topic that is very much needed. It is very important, very seldom that you hear about it in depth. Inshallah, we'll be talking about every aspect of it, and it should be interesting as we go deeper into that, because the Quran is full of stories about the disobedience of the shaitan and the stories between shaitan and Adam alayhi salam. He is our enemy, and we need to know him very well, as much as we know ourselves, because the only way to protect yourself against your enemy is by knowing who is your enemy. Once you know him and you know the commands and the teachings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah at least you can eliminate that major enemy of yours, the shaitan. Do you have any question?
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله لا أريد سواه، هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو؟